2024 into the beginning of 2025 has been insane, huh? Like, I mean, insane. We have done a crazy amount of stuff as a church. And I want to make sure you know just some of the big things that have happened, right? Like, so we started 2024 with a big fundraiser to go on a missions trip. And we raised a ton of money to send, I don't even remember how many people it was now, 21 people went to El Salvador this summer on a missions trip where we built houses and we ministered all over the place, doing things in El Salvador. It was a crazy trip. We had an Easter outreach that happened in I don't remember when Easter was last year. Was it March or April? It was that way. We go on the missions trip. We raise a bunch of money. You guys come through again and again, raising money for camp. We sent all kinds of kids and teenagers to camp this year. Jesus moved in their lives. It was an incredible time. We geared up basically immediately after that for Fall Fest. We start, you guys are donating candy. You guys are helping us get games going. Things are going on. We had, I don't even know, hundreds and hundreds of people come through here on Fall Fest, just rubbing shoulders with the church. We go from that basically to immediately gearing toward Christmas and gearing toward pond hockey season. Yesterday was an amazing day. I mean, I talk about it, like if I would have had one thing about yesterday, it would have been for the snow or the wind to end, you know, like the wind just, wow, that was cold. But like, it's February. You know, I mean, I don't know how much you can complain about a day like that in February. The ice held up. It was amazing. I can't even guess how many people were on the ice total yesterday. Was it 42 teams, John? How many teams? Back at 40 teams this year. It was the 10th year we've done this. This was the 10th anniversary of the pond hockey tournament. And it's such an incredible thing, and I'm going to tell a couple of stories from my day yesterday as we move on. But I like that was the big calendar things, but we also started in March this renovation project, right, where we raised, you guys came through and raised $40,000 this summer, and we were able to renovate the entryway out there. We're getting close. We still got to do some baseboard and stuff around there, but that's almost done. The kids' room, and we redid this whole hallway. If you haven't walked back here, if you didn't know what it looked like before, then you don't, I mean, looking at it now is going to be like, oh, that's what it looks like. But if you know what it was before, we tore out classrooms and made some new ones. We tore out some walls in there. We added plumbing sinks. We added a bathroom. We have a dedicated kids area back there that can overflow directly into the gym when the gym isn't full of the overflow of the pond hockey tournament and the construction stuff back there still. But I mean, this has been a year unlike any that I can think of as far as ministry at this church goes since I've been here in 15 years. I wasn't here for the building of this building. You know, I wasn't a part of that. But I mean, this year we have gone to town. I mean, it has been remarkable. And as your pastor, I was sitting out there on the ice, just again, amazed. I'm looking around and I'm just seeing all of these volunteers. I'm seeing all of this representation of people who have prayed, people who gave money, all those things. It's such an incredible thing to pastor a church when the church understands the mission. When the church gets what we're doing things for. I think in a lot of places that I've been, if somebody would have stood up and said, hey, we need $2,000 for a tent, people would have been like, no, you don't. But you guys saw the need and saw the reasoning, because it's not just a tent. It's something that facilitates ministry. And we didn't raise $2,000 a couple weeks ago for a tent. We raised $3,500 for a tent yesterday, which let us pay a little bit of extra money towards some of the things. And we got to pay some people who knew what they were doing to come and set up the tent. So that's really helpful. When you have a brand new 40 by 80 tent, having two guys out there who do it for a living, that's helpful. It was such a big thing, but I just want you to understand, like, this, what has happened in this last year. If you guys were a church that was like, oh, that's what we pay the pastors to do all the ministry, we would have done none of that. Like, there's no way we could have facilitated that. So I want you to just think for a second. If you brought in bags of candy for a kids' ministry event this year, If you volunteered to do anything at the kids' ministry, if you've swung a hammer or helped us pull nails or taken things to the garbage can or were here with a horrible smell, you know, as we did the floors. If you laid you didn't lay any of the plumbing stuff. Gussie's plumbing did the plumbing for us. If you were involved in any of those kind of things, if you went out and you helped set up boards, if you plowed snow, this has been an all-encompassing thing for our church. And I'll tell you what, I know some of you can't physically do the physical labor anymore of doing some of these things, but you have stood behind this church in prayer and setting an example. And listen, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And it is such an incredible thing. In all of that, our missions giving didn't take a hit. In all of that, our general fund giving didn't take a hit. In all of that, we were still able to pay the bills we needed to pay and do the things we needed to do so we could continue forwarding the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm proud of you. I'm proud. As your pastor, I was sitting out on that ice and I was just watching around and I was thinking about the last couple of years or the last year, the last several months. And I mean, just this overwhelming thankfulness and healthy pride came over me. Church, you get it. And it's such an incredible thing to watch. It's such an incredible thing to go. I do want to just publicly acknowledge John and Lynn as well. I mean, I know there's no way, just like I said, we couldn't do a pond hockey tournament without you, but we also couldn't do it without them. He's a machine. If you're around John, you know, I don't understand where his energy comes from. And he talks about I'm almost 40 now and I'm slowing down. I'm like, you've got more energy now than I did when I was 16. I don't know. I don't understand where his drive comes from, but he just is a machine. His motor just doesn't stop. And Lynn, I didn't even know you stepped away from the pond hockey committee last year or this year because you're so involved in it anyway. I mean, no name on a title, but listen, we are so blessed by the associate pastors we have at this church, John and Lynn, and now Maya out there. If you guys want to just give them a hand, it is an incredible thing to watch them go. I'll tell you, the national average for an associate pastor across denominations now is about a 10-month stay. That's the national average. An associate pastor comes in, they last about 10 months, and they go find somewhere else. That has not been our story. And I'm so very, very grateful. That has never really been this church's story. And I'm so grateful for that. It's just such an incredible thing, and I'm so, so privileged to work alongside of them and for you. And if you've been around here for a length of time, you've heard me talk about this before, but I just want to touch it again today as we look. In the New Testament, the word that is used, the Greek word that is used for church is the word ekklesia. That's the word. Okay, that's when you read the word church in English, the word that it was originally in the Greek was the word ekklesia. Okay, you don't need to know that to understand the Bible, but I want you to understand what that word means. When Paul chose that word, he didn't choose a Christian word. Okay, it was not before Paul used it to describe the church in the New Testament, it had never been used in a religious sense. It wasn't. It was a civic word or it was a military word. That's the way that word was used, because that word didn't mean a building. That word, ekklesia, meant a gathering of people who came together for a specific place to receive instruction and go out and accomplish a mission. That's the word that Paul chose to use for church. When he described the body of Christ coming together, he chose a civic or military word that meant the coming together or the gathering of people for a specific purpose to receive instructions and go accomplish a mission. So when you read the word church in the New Testament, you need to get the idea out of your head that we're talking about a building. This is a church building. It is a gathering place. I often refer to it as our toolbox, because we're able to use a lot of the tools that this building provides for ministry. But this building is not the church. This building is not the church. That mindset came forward when they translated the Bible into German. Okay, there's a German word called Kirche. Okay, that's the German word, and that literally means house of the Lord, and it was always used as of a building. Okay, and that's where we kind of pull these words together from, where we get our words, and as they go, as they translate. But I want you to understand, the word in German was about the place you met. The word that was originally used was all about the purpose, movement, and people. And church, as I have watched this last year, as I have been humbled and amazed by how you have continued and to just be a part of what is going on, I have not seen Kirche. I've seen Kirche improved, but I have seen Ekklesia. That is what I have seen as I have watched you this year. And it is such an incredible thing. I had two major conversations yesterday out on the ice that I don't think would have happened without a pond hockey tournament. I don't think it would have happened without your prayers and without you guys, you know, helping set up tents and doing those kind of things. I was sitting on the ice. I was just kind of minding my business for once. Usually that's not how I roll in a group of people. But I was just kind of standing there taking it in, and I saw, I don't know, he couldn't have been more than 12 or 13, but he looked really upset. Right? And I go up there and I just see him, and he's all by himself, you know, and I'm like, hey buddy, what's up? You know, how can I help you? And he was just started telling me this story yesterday on the ice. He started telling me a story about how he came to pond hockey. He didn't know if he was going to be able to raise the money, but he got to do it. His home life is a disaster. Everything is messed up, but he's around people today that are smiling, and it's the first time he's seen that in a long time. I can't say I led him to Christ. We didn't have some huge kumbaya moment right there, but I was able to tell him how much Jesus loved him, how much we value him, and how glad I was that he was out there yesterday. We plant seeds. It's God's job to bring about the harvest. When the time is right, Jesus will make that happen. But we just plant seeds. I had another one. We played this team. I think it was our second team that we played, and they just curb stomped us. I mean, like, they were, like, by about halfway through the first, you know, half, it was obvious that we didn't belong, you know, playing hockey with them. And they, like, started to let off a little bit. So we were, you know, we were out there. But there was a couple of those guys that I was able to kind of touch base with at a stand. I can't remember if it was the first, second team. We got beat all three games, but I was standing over there and I was talking to some of these guys, and they were over there and they're like, how many volunteers do you guys have do this? And I was like trying to think about it. And I'm like, well, today we have, I don't know, what, 15, 16 refs. And we've got like four people on the crew right now working on the fire barrels. And we've got another four people or so running around doing rink stuff. And we've got, you know, like John, like he does every hat, you know, and we've got people in the tent for registration, and we've got, you know, volunteers all over the place, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, you know, today alone, we probably had, I don't know, pushing 60, 70 volunteers on the ice just on the day of. That doesn't count all the people, you know, who helped us set up boards and who came out and have been plowing the snow and have gone and got tents and have done all those things. I'm like, I don't know, we have to at least have 100 volunteers out here on any given year. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at one of the guys, and he's like, that's incredible. Like, they're blown away. And so he's like, and they're all from one church? And I'm like, no, they're not all from one church. We have volunteers from the community. People have seen, you know, the value of how this goes, and it's become more than just our church. But I'd say, you know, the majority of those volunteers are from our church. And it was just cool to have a conversation with these guys as we were sitting there waiting for the biggest pile of cheese curds I've ever gotten in my life. My kids wanted cheese curds for lunch. They had a grilled cheese. And then they also wanted cheese curds. I mean, it was dairy heavy lunch. And I was like, okay, well, I'll get you guys both, but you have to share the cheese curds. And they're like, I'm not sharing cheese curds. Like, I don't want to share with her. I'm like, trust me. You can share the cheese curds. And I got them. And you know those to-go boxes? Like, that thing was all the way full of cheese curds. I ate them. Titus ate them. Beth-El ate them. And we still gave away, like, 3/4 of them because there was so much cheese. It was like I was worried at what was going to happen in our third game with that much cheese. But it was just this incredible day. And, again, it was just a chance. Like, that's why we say every year it's about hockey. Or it involves hockey, but it's not about hockey. This is about us being able to just rub shoulders with people and show them the love of Christ. That's why we do what we do, right? Like, it's such an important thing. We don't have to have somebody up on a stage screaming about Jesus up there, because you guys engage the people around you with Christ in very meaningful ways consistently. And it's awesome. It's such an awesome thing to behold as we see these things. I want to read a couple of portions of scripture that just kind of popped out in my mind as I was getting ready for today. Are you ready? Acts chapter 2, verse 41. That's where I'm going to start. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is right after the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. He empowers the apostles. Peter preaches, and I can't remember the number. What is it? 1,000, 2,000 people in one message without PA systems and without the internet come to know Jesus. And you kind of see as it goes, it's 3,000. There's the number right in front of me. I should read. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. Church, that is ecclesia. Like, it goes beyond just meeting here, right? It goes beyond that. It's people engaging in their relationship with Jesus and taking it with him wherever he goes, building relationships, doing the things that need to be done, and walking together. How many of you in this lifetime have ever dealt with something beyond your ability to handle by yourself? Right? Like, beyond your ability. That is what church should be for. Unfortunately, many times when we start to deal with something that's beyond our ability to handle by ourselves, we isolate, which tends to exaggerate the problem, not help the problem. And what we really need is to reach out to our church and let the church come alongside you and be there. It's one of the most amazing things about every one of these outreaches that we get to be a part of. I love watching people just work together. How many of you working at any one of the outreaches this year met somebody you didn't really know before and had a chance to chat with them, right? Like, that was you. You got to do that. That is the church at work, right? Like, that is the church being the church. Many of you I got to talk to again yesterday. It's fun. I very intentionally, if I walked by you and didn't chat and have a long chat with you, don't, it's not because I'm upset with you. My goal on those days is to meet new people. Like, that's my goal. I chat with the church people too. That's a good thing. I enjoy doing it. And I was reminded again yesterday, multiple times, that the defining feature of my face has become my glasses. Like, many of you did not recognize me whatsoever without them, you know, like, several of you I talked to for a couple of minutes before you were like, "Oh, Jason," you know, like it happens out loud. Like, it wasn't just one of you. If you think I'm talking about you, I mean, I am a little bit, but there's more than one. I guess I've worn glasses my whole life. Well, not my whole life, but most of it. But I didn't realize that this is my face. You know, like, if I take this off now, I've literally taken my face off and you don't know who I am. But it was fun having conversations with people. I love watching the church be the church. We talked last week about how in Acts 1:8, God empowers us to be witnesses, and we see that over and over again. I want to read one more portion of scripture, and it's a little bit larger. It's Ephesians chapter 2, And I want to make sure that we hit this. This is such an important thing. Paul is talking, he's going to use the word Gentile and Jew because that's the crowd he's writing into, right? We've talked about this before. Jews were Jewish people of Jewish descent of the line of Abraham, or they were people that had converted to the religion of Judaism, okay? You could do that even then. Most people didn't because it was a big deal, but most of the Jews were born Jews, but there was a way to become a Jew. And then there were Gentiles, which was everybody else, right? And the Jews did not mingle with the Gentiles. The Jews didn't, they thought of themselves as superior. They thought of themselves as better. And to be honest, if you pay attention to the history of the world, most people that weren't Jews looked down on Jews. That's a shock to some people who read the Bible their whole life, because we read about the Jews all the time about how great, you know, God used them and did things in their lives. But to most of the world, the Jews were just an annoying curiosity piece that wouldn't go away. Right? Like they were over there and they had this really old religion, but they were weird. They didn't do things the way anybody else. The weirdest thing about them was they only had one God. That was bizarre in that time. Like every other religion at that time had multiple gods. You know what I mean? And many of them had so many gods that the people who followed it had to choose a couple to serve because there were so many they didn't even know who to follow, right? Like they probably didn't even know most of them at that point in time. And so Paul is starting to talk this, but there was this steady divide. And even after Jesus Christ comes and he dies for the world and he sends Peter the vision and Paul begins to preach, they were still many times dividing themselves as Jew and Gentile, okay? As Jews and everybody else. And Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 11. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. So Paul is saying our religion was literally only skin deep. Like literally it was skin deep. It did not affect us. It was just about this outward sign that we were a part of it. We just liked to be known for it. It didn't change who we were or how we lived. It was skin deep. It didn't matter on the inside. Verse 12, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to the people of Israel. And you did not know the I went back a line. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. And ever since then, the church has tried to put them back in place. That's my thing. That's not in the Bible. He did this, verse 15, he did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulation. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Verse 19, and this is what I really want to land on. I just wanted to build kind of what he's talking about right there. 19, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Paul starts shaking the room. And I know when we read this, it doesn't sound like a big deal because we don't care about the divisions between Jews and Gentiles. Right? How many of you have thought, well, man, I wish I wasn't a Gentile. If only I could have been born a Jew. right? Like, I mean, that's just not something we really deal with today. We have our own issues from time to time with people that we think we're better than or other people that think they're better than us. But Paul starts kicking down walls and he's like, listen, Jews, you're at peace with God. Hey, you Gentiles, you're at peace with God. You're one family now. You're one family. Not two separate families in the same place. You're one family. That's it. One family finding its identity in Jesus and moving forward blessed by God. Can I tell you, I have loved watching that the last few weeks. One of my favorite things when I look out in this church is how different we all are, right? If we sat down and we went around this room and I'm like, give us your name, your age, whether your parents are divorced or married, what kind of house you grew up in, you know, what's your level of education, you know, what's your history? And we had time to go all around this room and go, every single one of us would have a very, very different story, right? If we just said, how did you come to know Jesus? Like if I just left that one question, there would be very few of us whose stories sounded exactly like somebody else's. Right? We've got people that basically were born in a church pew, right? Like, and it was a pew. It was not chairs. You were born in a church pew on a Sunday morning and you have never legally been able to leave the church building since. Right? Like, and you have been a part of this thing called Christianity your entire life. You never wavered. You never had any of that. Like, that is your story. And there are people in this room today who I have never seen before in this room. I don't know you. I don't know what your story is in Jesus. And I love that you're here. I love that you're here. And everywhere in between, some of you lived hard lives and found Jesus. Some of you started with Jesus, went off and did your own thing for a while, and then came back to Jesus. And every one of our stories would be different. Every single one of our stories would be different. And you know what? That's church. You don't have to have it all figured out to come here. You don't have to join a club before you can come start and listen to Jesus. You connect with people and you grow. And I'm sitting out there again on the ice yesterday and I'm just watching the church be the church. I'm watching people work together that probably would never have any reason to work side by side with each other except for we have a common cause in Christ. That's a miraculous thing. That is, like, you're not being paid to be there. You know what I mean? Like, we don't pay volunteers. I wish we could pay you all. We can't. Don't get your hopes up. You're not paid to be there. You're not coerced to be there. You believe in a vision. You love Jesus. And you work side by side. What an incredible miracle. I'm watching generations work together. How miraculous is that today? How many of you, your favorite thing to do is to complain about generations you're not a part of? Right? And yet, we're working side by side. I'm watching people whose stories to Jesus couldn't be more different, and their backgrounds couldn't be more different, working side by side, tearing down a tent last night. And I'm watching people smile. Like, can I tell you, I'm exhausted. Even if my back wasn't absolutely, like, killing me right now, I'm tired. And I didn't work as hard as John. I don't know how he's here. He's like, yeah, I loved how he's like, these are good bags today. You know, like, these are bags that I caught up a little bit on sleep last night. That's awesome. I'm going to probably make fun of you for that for a long time. It's such a good thing, though, to watch people side by side. We don't hear complainers. Like, we're out there, and I heard a lot of complainers, because hockey players, listen, y'all are whiners. It's a reality. Like whining and fighting, those are maybe the two most defining things about the culture of hockey. It's that way in every sports culture, not just hockey players. You go around any sport and they love to whine to the refs when things don't go their way. Have you ever noticed no one has ever complained? Like I've never had somebody come to me, you know, and been like, you know, I really broke a rule and I'm really upset that ref didn't call it. Has anybody ever heard that before? Like, you know, if that ref was going to call a fair game, he really should have called me on that penalty. It's always the other team, right? That other team. It's like, oh, you didn't see this or you didn't, like, every game you ever play. It was hilarious yesterday. That was the only whining I heard was from people who said I didn't call what I should have called yesterday. And I only ref two games. Some of you guys did it all day. But I watch people go out and work side by side for no money, in Minnesota winter in February, in a wind that was not as bad as it could have been, but like sucked the soul out of my body for part of the day, and just smile and serve Jesus. What a remarkable thing. Church, we're not perfect and we're never gonna be. As long as I'm a part of this church and as long as you're a part of this church, we can never be perfect. Because you're not perfect and neither am I. And that's not our goal. To be perfect. Our goal is to just serve Jesus and let him do the work in our lives. To constantly walk closer to him, to serve our community, to take Jesus with us and to rub shoulders with people and let them see Jesus in our lives. And can I tell you what, church? I'm proud of you. As your pastor, I'm just proud of you. Watching what you guys have done this last year, it's been an incredible privilege. It's not the last time I'm going to ask you to help with something. This is not my resignation. This is not the end of our outreach. I just want you to know how proud I am that you've caught the vision and you're living it out day in and day out. If you don't know Jesus in this place and you'd like to talk about it, I would love to have a conversation with you about it. I would love to talk with you about this Jesus that has taken a messed up bum who was broken and angry like me and allowed me to serve him. I'd love to talk to you about what Jesus did in my life and what he can do in yours. He's the best decision I've ever made. The best thing I've ever done was bow my knee back to Christ. And if you don't know him, I'd love to introduce you to him today. But I just want to say thanks. Jesus, you're good. I thank you that you did the really hard stuff. Jesus, you came to this earth and you died so that I could be in right relationship with you. And I'm just so grateful that I get to serve you alongside this church. I'm so grateful for the partner you gave me and my wife, for partners and ministry that I have been able to walk by for the last 15 years, for so many of them that have come alongside in that time. God, for a church that understands mission. I marvel at how you have taken us, how you have taken our brokenness and our variation and all these separate stories and given us common purpose, and that is to see people come to you. Help us to continue to grow in that and not grow comfortable with the past success, but to continue striving to lead people to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome day, everybody.